This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you doing?
Hi, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Before we take a look at the week to come, let's just analyze those PMI figures earlier today. We had them both from the United Kingdom and the USA. Which do you want to start with?
Yeah, let's look at, so it was UK, Europe, and then this morning we also got US, and it paints a really interesting picture across the board. If we take a look first at Europe, when we look at French and German manufacturing and services numbers, everything was a little bit disappointing. And, you know, I was wondering about this, Johnny, for listeners who may be newer to this stuff. The PMI stands for Purchasing Managers Index, which is, of course, an index surveying purchasing managers, people who make decisions in the business world, people who hire, people who see sales data, they see order data. You know, they're on the front lines of making business decisions. So their input is very important. And I wonder here, with all of these indexed values pretty much coming in lower than forecasts, how much of this is in reaction to the recent change of leadership in the United States with upcoming tariff potential in the story for, for European exporters and businesses that rely heavily on the U.S.? Is there perhaps some of this data here today, this weak PMI data, that shows the sentiment has, the outlook has weakened a bit from German, French, you know, European in general, manufacturing, services, people of purchasing manager positions? And not only that, the UK too. I mentioned Europe, but the UK as well. Manufacturing and services both missed expectations, lower than expected. And by the way, all numbers that I've just mentioned, the UK PMI numbers, the European PMI numbers, all of them are under 50, which of course 50 is the threshold for growth versus contraction in those areas in the economy. So all of them see future slowing in some of these key economic areas. To contrast that, the second part of this is of course the US PMI numbers that came out shortly after. And lo and behold, sticking to the trend that has been recent economic data, US PMI was strong. So we saw services PMI beat expectations, manufacturing came in line, but the overall story here seems to be some divergence between European mainland, UK, as well as the US over here. So perhaps something to watch out for. And in response to that, for the currency traders in the room, we have the dollar trading above 107. We saw a big break above it. The euro, the pound, all hitting fresh lows against the dollar here today. As we record this video or this podcast, we have the UK, the pound at 1.2520. You've got the euro at 1.04 and seemingly, at least in recent times, making a beeline towards parity against the dollar, which is a level that we have not seen. I mean, we're still a ways away from there on the euro, but at least in directional format, seems like the euro continues to go lower and lower towards that level. We have not seen that level since, you know, late 2022.
And talking of levels we haven't seen, Bitcoin now stands on the brink of hitting $100,000, Nick. And that is just 2 years after plummeting below $17,000. That was following the collapse of FTX. I know it's surpassed $99,000 for the first time. And these things are just, they're marks, aren't they, really? But it will be quite a psychological barrier to break through when it actually happens. And then we'll see what happens after that. Maybe the profit takers will take over. But it is a volatile crypto world. The future is uncertain and there are risks. But it is amazing to see how it has soared over the last few weeks and months.
Well, it absolutely is. And to add to what you were saying, you know, this is a major milestone, but it's also a major, in my opinion, a bit of an indicator too of where the state of the consumer is. It's in a better spot than we were a few years ago with inflation running crazy in the US, the UK, many places. We saw high levels of inflation that has since returned to some level of normalcy compared to previous years. And I think that that stands alone as a major contributor to this bounce back in crypto, as you just mentioned, sub 20,000, now almost 100,000. And also one little game we can think about here is I've noticed that in the hourly chart on the Bitcoin price, we've gotten up into the 99s and sold off, gotten up into the 99s, sold off. I wonder if some of this is the psychological level of 100,000 people are perhaps punching in orders to get out of their positions ahead of the 100,000 level. But I don't know. I think that the mere idea that Bitcoin could ever get here in the first place is something to seriously you respect. I mean, I had no expectation that crypto or Bitcoin would ever see $100,000 a coin. It always sounded like a pipe dream for years and years and years. And suddenly you wake up one day and there's a president and a close friend of his, Elon Musk, who are vouching heavily for it and for the future having crypto in it. This is one of the things and a good thing to pause and think about when it comes to financial markets. This shows just how difficult it is really to see the future. You know, how many people would have said a couple years ago that cryptocurrency would be being used and advocated for by the president of the United States, arguably the most powerful person on the planet. The upcoming president. He's not currently yet the president. And that brings up another question with the crypto world is, how do things progress or change from here when leadership does actually change in January 2025? Are there actual things put into place? Right now, it feels like the crypto buzz is just going crazy off of the rumor or the suspected potential of the upcoming president. But the question will be how much of it actually gets sort of solidified, put into to the real world. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But it is absolutely a very speculative asset. It moves tremendously up and tremendously down. As a reminder to listeners, it is a very, very volatile asset, to say the least. You have to be very careful with this stuff.
Now, let's look ahead to the week to come. What highlights are there out for you to preview today?
So Monday is pretty light, but one thing to also mention for next week is that for the U.S. Traders, we've got Thanksgiving, which is a yearly, of course, event. And for non-U.S. traders, what that means to you is that the markets may be a little quieter than usual. That is, of course, going to be Thursday next week. And next week, in terms of economic data, we have consumer confidence coming in on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we, however, do still have U.S. jobs data coming in. So we've got the unemployment claims coming in one day early. Unemployment claims usually come in on Thursday. We got them on Wednesday this week or next week. And then preliminary GDP, core PCE on Wednesday as well. And then we have a meeting minutes on Wednesday. I mean, it is a busy Thanksgiving week. Thursday, of course, will be Thanksgiving for U.S. traders. And then Friday, we get manufacturing PMI data. So out of China, GDP numbers from Canada, and that is pretty much how we're going to end the week. Still a busy week next week with the Fed anytime they speak, especially ahead of their upcoming meeting in December. Will be interesting to see if we get any clues as to what is going to happen next with those interest rates. Had a little bit of one quick thought on that when it comes to Fed officials. We had Bowman, who is traditionally pretty hawkish, came out very hawkish recently, citing some risks to inflation. That is, of course, a Fed committee member. And then at the same time, there's another Fed official, I'm blanking on his name, came out very dovish. So a bit of a mixed sentiment. But the bigger, broader point is that Fed officials do seem to be kind of paying close attention to what yields are doing up and away, and seeing some of the economic data remaining resilient. And perhaps there is in 2025 a theme of less rate cuts than what was previously expected out of the U.S. I mean, take a look at the dollar, look no further. And that is sort of signaling that, again, the U.S. may be ahead of its peers in terms of economic data, which could mean less rate cuts.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for your contribution today, Nick. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Have a nice weekend.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.